Alright, so let's get this show underway. Alright, so let's just go. Hello everybody, here it's Ben Yuko here with Zoe Wanthi. I hope everybody's doing very, very well today. Welcome to the Black Tap Building Program on this Tuesday, May 14, 2024. How's everybody doing today? I hope everybody's having a great day to have a. It was a blast this weekend. I should be having the photos up sometime later for Cold Launch and Rank Pyres event from Sunday. I still have to put them up. So there'll be great pictures that everybody can see, be able to see all the great things in the Black tech space. So that's kind of showing me everything that excuse me. Second, so we got. I need to pull the material, and I think I have the material from the game. And I think I have the material. I should have the material here. Alright, so I have to find my stuff again. Hey, I have the stuff here. It's just. Oh, yeah, I got it here. So now we're on the procedural. Today we are doing, and let me get my stuff organized here. I already got it organized. I just want to make sure I get it. I'm on a procedural. Okay, so procedural. So we're gonna look at some procedural stuff today. So we're gonna talk about procedural generation. And then so we'll get into the emerging trends of procedural generation. This is what it says if you wanna know. Procedural generation is a technique that uses algorithms and rules to create content automatically or semi-automatically rather than manually. Procedural generation can help developers create larger and diverse world levels and assets with less time and resources. Procedural generation can also increase the replay value and variety of games by generating different outcomes and challenges each time. However, procedural generation also requires careful design as well as balance. And that's the one we'll go over on Friday. So now we're going to get into procedural generation here. I'm going to talk a little bit more. So you're going to learn some more things. Let's see.
We've created a procedural universe, infinite. It's so vast, it's so boundless. It's actually infinite.
The planets are different colors, but the gameplay never evolves.
It's an unimaginably huge open universe that invites exploration, but one where nothing of significance ever happens.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Even IGN gave it a 6. God damn!
Procedural generation isn't what you think it is. When you hear procedural generation, you usually think infinite worlds, infinite maps, infinite dungeons. But that is not the whole story. Procedural generation is simply defined as when
content is created quasi-randomly by a computer rather than built by hand by a human.
This isn't constrained to just worlds and levels. For example, Left 4 Dead created a groundbreaking system that procedurally generated enemies. In real time, their engine would spawn enemies in a strategic but randomly chosen location depending on how well you were performing in the game. If you were doing well, it would change their pathing to be more aggressive and even adapt the weather to reduce visibilities of enemies, which is so cool, because no matter what skill level you were, the game managed to keep tensions high without making it too hard. Borderlands has procedural weapons. Rimworld has procedural NPCs. Dwarf Fortress is everything procedural? I don't even know. But don't get me wrong. Your traditional procedural generation techniques can really add to a game. Minecraft, Don't Starve, Spelunky. It can be done, but there's a fundamental mistake that was made by No Man's Sky. Kind of. They sold a bajillion copies and have since made the game amazing. But in the beginning, what happened in No Man's Sky, and how do we learn from their mistakes and add procedural generation into our game Atrio? Here's the lesson. Procedural generation isn't a game mechanic, it's a tool. The appeal of exploration in games isn't about more worlds or bigger universes, it's about more unique experiences. Let me give you an example. This year's biggest game, Elden Ring. So I'm riding around and I see this giant pot, and I think to myself, man, that thing has got to be 10 times the size of me. I think back to all the bosses that were way smaller and still beat my ass, and me, learning my lesson, think, I should fight that. So I jump down and die, and then I follow this cavern all the way until I see this tree. So I cross the tree into our dark cave, where I run in the dark past all these bad guys and find an incredible dead end.
Miyazaki!
And after 5 hours of exploring, it turns out you have to go all the way up and around into another biome and down through this forest to this dinky-ass little elevator. That takes you to this massive underground world that leads you to another elevator. And then you ride through the valley into a lake and then past all these spirit arches until you finally get to an elevator. And then you ride back through the cavern past these giant archers trying to murder you, and finally, after all of that, you can finally ride up and do glorious battle! And you approach, ready for war, and it says to you... nothing. Absolutely nothing. Yeah, there's more to this, but the point is, procedural generation can't do that for you. This level of satisfaction for discovering such a crazy handcrafted secret like this just can't be achieved by a computer. But that's not to say procedural generation is useless. Let's say you're creating an incredibly fun game available in early access right now, where you play as a very disposable android. And the only way to survive is to automate everything. You automate farming, you automate foraging, you automate crafting, even assimilate creatures into your production lines during your possible mission to relight the world. And you need to create a map that's both unique for exploring, but also has thousands of plants, rocks, environmental pieces for you to harvest and automate. And you could hand place them, but you'd be an idiot, because if you ever changed the map, you'd have to redo everything. This is Unity's tile map system. It lets you paint tiles in 1x1 squares onto a grid, but it's so much more than that. The tile map system is smart. Given the right tiles, it can choose which tile to add to create believable chunks of the world. You can paint huge chunks at a time, and it's unbelievably fast at creating wildly detailed environments in a very short amount of time. The best part is, we created a system that spawns items only on specified tiles. So I can paint a map, and with one click of a button, it will automatically generate plants at any density. I can repaint it without having to manually move any objects. All I gotta do is just click that button, and it just regenerates everything on the map. Even our respawners are smart enough to replenish items on tiles that make sense. So when our picker pals harvest items, the glow plants only grow on the fertile soil tiles. All of this is helping us stay true to our objective to create unique, discoverable experiences, while also giving us the flexibility to change environments without a huge hassle. And my game is just one example of so many cool uses. This was a bit of a short video, so if I missed any cool examples, let me know in the comments. I genuinely love hearing about them. You know I gotta show one last time. Our new map and so much more just dropped in our first major update, so go buy Atrio and subscribe. Thanks for watching.
Okay, so we talked, there's a lot there that covers a lot of content that I think it's very important to understand, like procedural generation. So the question I think we always should ask ourselves, what is the... That's actually our important question. How does this relate to black gamers? Well, I think it relates to a lot of very important things about what black gamers should be discussing. And I think the discussion is great. One of the big things I like about procedural generation, I like to ask this question. How do we begin on gathering information on this tool? And I think when we ask that question, we might get a foundational answer of what we need to be qualified as the gamers and how this can be used when you're building your games. So when black gamers start building games, they actually can be able to be inspired of doing it. Inspired to be a well service hub. So I want us to start thinking about these ideas where we can have the next generation. Let's say who's going to be the biggest game developer in procedural generation. How do we promote it? Give me 1 second. So that's what we look at in that procedural mode of knowing what differences we have to make. So the procedural generation is a key component to everything that gamers are gonna need to do. You're gonna know how you can make different receiving the game, make it. Listen to the example again.
Level of satisfaction for discovering such a crazy handcrafted secret like this just can't be achieved by a computer. But that's not to say procedural generation is useless. Let's say you're creating an incredibly fun game available in early access right now. You play as a very disposable android, and the only way to survive is to automate everything. You automate farming, you automate foraging, you automate crafting, even assimilate creatures into your production lines during your impossible mission to relight the world. And you need to create a map that's both unique for exploring, but also has thousands of plants, rocks, environmental pieces for you to harvest and automate. And you could hand place them, but you'd be an idiot because if you ever changed the map, you'd have to redo everything.
Yeah, and that would be a tough challenge. Those are going to be the important challenges we're going to have ahead of time. So we have to be more serious about where can we look at these things in the long run. So you have to be well preserving on what the table of talent is, what is the people going to do, how it's going to pursue, what's the agenda behind it. So I think that is going to be the most biggest part about all of the talent, all the stuff together. So let's look at the tools. Let's look at one. So let's talk about the colors, okay?
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 4. So our goal today is to create some color maps from
the this one, Siberian League. I'll put all the links.
Okay, so we're going to need a way to assign colors to specific height values. So let's go into the map generator script and let's create a public struct for our different terrain types. And this can contain a public float for the height value of this type of terrain, as well as the color that this terrain will have, so just call that color. And then maybe we can also add a public string, just so that we can label the type of terrain as being water, grass, rock, whatever. So I'll just call that name. And then we'll want to make sure that this is system.serializable, so it will show up in the inspector. And then over here we can just create a public array of these terrain types. I'll call this maybe the regions. So if we save now and go onto the map generator inspector, I'm just going to create two regions to start with. I'll call the first one water and the second one land. I'll give this a blue color and maybe this one a nice green. Then I'll give water a height value of 0.4 and land a height value of 1. So this will mean that from 0 to 0.4 will be the water region, and then from 0.4 all the way up to 1 will be land. So let's go into the map generator again and implement this. So we'll want to loop through this noise map that we receive. So we'll say for int y equals naught, y less than map height, y plus plus, and then for int x equals naught, x less than map width. We can now say that the height at this point, so float current height, is equal to the value of our noise map at coordinates x by y. Alright, we'll then want to loop through all of the regions so that we can find which region this current height falls within. So we'll say for int I equals 0, I less than regions.length, I plus plus. If the current height is less than or equal to the region's height, so regions i.height, that means that we've found the region that it falls within. So we can break, since we don't need to check the other regions, we can just move on to the next coordinate.
See how I'm showing you, I'm showing you the video of, a person that, so let me just put the link into the videos in our discussion page, so you see where I'm pulling the videos out today. So that's much important to take a look at procedural landmass. So that's a very important thing in the conversation and the question. What is the main strategy? So the main strategy what is the main strategy of winning? Okay. Excuse me. These allergies are hurting me so much. So what is the main strategy? So we need to know our strategies and our and the plan. What is the main strategy? And then one of the other questions I would like to ask. All right, so one second. Yeah, yes! I'm doing something. All right, so let's just get back to what I was saying. So you have all that going on. So we have to look at the strategy. We also need to look at the project. Can we know the projection of this technology? Because that's another thing. And we need to know much does this technology cost? I need to know the cost. And I mean we're gonna talk whole cost. We're gonna talk about whole cost. I need to know the whole cost of that, okay? So what is the main strategy? Can we know the projection of this technology? For the future, I need to know the projection of the technology. But how's it going to look in the next 5-10 years? How much does this technology cost? The whole cost of the technology. So we're going to need to know all those details of what is going to be key to actually knowing what needs to be done fully. So we have to know all the components of that technology and stuff. So, yeah. So we're gonna have that great moment. Oh, we're gonna have a lot of things going on with that, so that should also look good. So that was a good procedural generation talk that we actually enjoyed. So now I'm gonna get into the article I just pulled up. Let me just article that I just. Alright, so they had this recently. I may go into this article. So I'm going to go back to an earlier article because I think they had this one here, and then I'll just go to that one, okay? So this article is talking about Google is putting more Gemini Mini AI in search. It's the start of the Google Year I.O. developer event today. But Google doesn't seem that interested in telling developers what they'll be able to do with Google. It's more interested in telling regulators all the cool stuff the company Gemini can do right now and will be able to do in the future. Presenters realize what we need to know in the Gemini era. What does it mean for regular users? More or less, it's all about the smarter search that pulls more and deeper information from more websites. It organizes the smart way. It starts with AI Overview, the new fancy version of rich results you can currently see before, but sometimes to the right, AI Overview will soon be graduating from the search lab while off air to standard users in the US. Over a billion people in the US. Here, let's take a look. I gotta turn this down. This is always so nice. So it's a new version of AI that they are running. But I always ask this question: why is it so heavily hyped? You don't need for everything because they want these are the people. Oh, these are people that actually know this is. because the way I use this AI thing is, if I was going to use AI, like I used a little bit, is I only use it for correcting programs. No, I write programs myself, but I'll actually will write the programs. So it's their version of ChatGPT. That's what basically what it is. So when you look at all these technologies, so it's their own. It's their own version of ChatGPT. Okay, so it shows you everything there on that site. Okay, it says these automated generated created from index and crawl websites will include a familiar people ask queries, shopping results will of course earn some ad revenue and result in a more complex phrase in natural language. The example of Google search blog and given live stage including finding your best yoga place studio in Boston and show me the details in walking time from Beacon Hill, Boston. AI generated results including the local student showing the logo relative to the smart but pretty standard stuff. It's worth pointing out that Google claims people are visiting great diversity of websites, making a conflict with this too, but that actually turns into traffic that says websites are not excluded. The AI power generated results when the source context hard to dig and appropriately assess is concerned with the sustainability of the website. Google search is built upon that. A much more impressive demo was talking to a live demo with Google Lens and that. So it gives you all that information from the video that was actually playing here. So there's no purpose of reading. Here's my take on it. Number one, it sounds good on paper. But here's the thing about why I look at this AI. It should be used if you're actually a computer programmer. They can use it to correct your program, make sure the program runs accurate, and you actually know how to write the code and get it to the code that it actually wants before you take it to a tutor. It actually gives you the structure of building the code, actually. So that's kind of like what's really interesting about this. Alright, so it is asking me about all these questions and all this stuff that, and another thing that also concerns me is the access to people's different websites. It should be able to access to web to the ability of traffic. This is essentially hoarding the traffic into and monopolizing the traffic. They should build AI prevention things that are well versed around it, so make sure it's their traffic built in their own website, not give everything to one source of a website. That doesn't make any sense. So that's okay. So then, and then the next conversation that they had, oh, and the bad news, let's look at this. This is the bad news about it all. For the new AI services that the Gmail AI power upgrade looks serious, but you have to pay for it and kind of a lot. To the Google show the future of Gmail, Google I/O size on the ability to question email threads, even come to perform attacks in the background via AI agents. It's important to elevate one that represents the reason that Gmail became so powerful because in intrinsically complex. So, complex. There's questions and replies to attachment all over. Oh. Trinsic goal. Complex with questions and reply. It has them all over the place. Google is using G Mini AI system to help make sense. So it'll be rolled out Google Lab workplace as well. And even consumers will have to pay a whopping $19.95 per month for the Google AI plan that makes it all happen. Alright. So this is Sean's dumb version of everything they wanted to do here. Okay. So that basically done. Let's take a listen to a news story about if they.
Gemini, here we go. Tell me what you see.
I see you placing a piece of paper on the table. I see a squiggly line.
What about now?
The contour lines are smooth and flowing, with no sharp angles or jagged edges. It looks like a bird to me.
What if I add this?
The bird is swimming in the water. It has a long neck and beak. It is a duck.
Yes.
A duck is a type of waterfowl in the family Anatidae. Ducks are closely related to geese and swans. The duck appears to be blue. This is not a common color for ducks. However, there are some breeds of blue ducks. These are typically not as common as other duck breeds. It is more common for ducks to be brown, black, or white.
Are you sure?
What the quack? I was just talking about a blue duck, and now you're holding one. It looks like blue ducks are more common than I thought.
Would this float?
I'm not sure what material it's made of, but it looks like it might be rubber or plastic.
What if I tell you it's making a squeaking sound?
Oh, if it's squeaking, it's definitely going to float.
Nice.
It is a rubber duck. It is made of a material that is less dense than water.
Can you teach me how to say this in a different language? And give me a few options. Ooh, can you explain how to pronounce the Mandarin one? Is it Yazi? Yazi
is pronounced with a first tone in Mandarin. There are four tones, which are essential to distinguish the meaning of words. The first tone is a high-level tone.
Oh, okay.
The duck is in the middle of the ocean. There is no land nearby for the duck to rest or find food. It is unlikely to find ducks here naturally.
Okay, based on what you see, come up with a game idea. Oh, and use emojis, please.
How about this? We can play a game called Guess the Country.
Sure, let's do it.
Clue one. This country is the home of the kangaroo, the koala, and the Great Barrier Reef.
Oh, that's easy.
Clue 2. This country loves football and has won the most men's World Cups in football history. You were trying to get me to find the paper ball under the cup. I accept the challenge. The cup to the left.
Nice.
I know what you're doing. You're playing rock, paper, scissors.
What do you see now?
The fingers are spread out to look like the wings of a butterfly.
What's this?
Big ear and barking mouth, a dog.
Sweet.
The coin should be under the right hand.
I don't know.
The coin is in the left hand, using a sleight of hand technique to make it appear as if the coin has disappeared. Both objects are round and flat.
There you go.
Both are food. The orange is a healthier choice than the cookie. Citrus can be calming, and so can the spin of the fidget toy. They are both examples of popular toys that have been enjoyed by children and adults alike for many years.
give me some ideas for what I could make with this.
I see pink and green yarn. How about a dragon fruit? Or how about a green cake with a pink heart?
Okay, how about these colors? And maybe show me some animals.
Okay, now I see blue and pink yarn. How about a pig with blue ears? Or an octopus? Or a bunny with a pink nose?
Ooh, I'll keep those in mind. Which way should the duck go?
Going left leads to a duck, which is a friend. Going right leads to a bear, which is a foe. It is better to make friends than foes, so the duck should go left.
Smart choice.
This is a picture of a crab.
That's right. Is this the right order?
No. The correct order is Sun, Earth, Saturn.
Based on their design, which of these would go faster?
The car on the right would be faster. It is more aerodynamic.
Which looks more fun?
The one on the right, because it has a loop.
What do you think this person might be saying?
How about a woohoo?
Ooh, I love that.
I see you're drawing a guitar. You've added an amp. Now it's an electric guitar. We can make some seriously loud music now. Given that you added drums, how about some 80s hair metal? All right, I see you've added a palm tree to the drawing. Change it up with some beachy vibes.
What movie are they acting out here?
I think they are acting out the famous bullet time scene from The Matrix.
Ooh, nice. What do you think might happen next?
The cat is going to jump to the wall and stick the landing. It's going to be a perfect 10. Oh, and it's a miss. It looks like it was just a little too far away. But don't worry, the cat is a natural athlete and it will be back up there in no time.
Okay, I've got one more for you. Describe the drawing I made.
It is a simple line drawing of the constellation Gemini. You did a good job of capturing the beauty of Gemini.
Nice. That's it.
Alright, so it's kind of interesting to see how that all plays out. Now, I'm going to show you a couple programs for you today. I got one set up for you. You're going to see it now. So this, I'm gonna explain this to you what I did. So I built this earlier today. So this is a bunch of programs that I built. So this is one program I built. So this is the library, this for the strand and random to get some information. That building the timeline. Then I got my main block, then I got my numbers. I'm gonna put numbers in the element. Then it's gonna print me the number of elements. I'm gonna put here, I'm going to scan the okay. Then we're gonna send the random to this R. Then it will get into the number of elements with a for loop. And that's that random number generated random and it's array bonds and then it runs number and there's for good enter two strings. This is the pointer. Character is a pointer to compare. Then we're gonna import two strings. And then if it's both equal, it'll say that. We're gonna do all three of these, okay? Okay. Still here. Let's see. What's this? Okay. Okay, so I'm gonna do it again. Okay. See how I did it? And so we called it to compare the function strings. First, you enter the numbers and we compare the functions. So this is an array and we're comparing it. Front string, max size. So you see that? That's the second. Got our first string to enter and our second string to enter. Then we're going to call them to compare them. Then we build an if statement to figure out which ones are the correct answers. And then we compare them in these while loops and stuff. So now we're going to run this code, okay? One. Let's do the same one again. See how that's different? See how? Two, three, four, seven. Five, six, seven. So there's seven random numbers. Let's do 45. See how he came over. Let's do it. See that? See how that all works? That actually works. See how that works? That RAM numbers from here, it breaks it down into a pointer. And then we enter the numbers and we send the RAM numbers. We set up a for loop. RAM numbers here, it is. You don't want to print it out. This is how you want it to be. That's how it gathers all the information. So that's what kind of looks at everything differently. Okay, now it's time to go into the news and see what's on. Alright, so now we're going to go over some news here today. It says Microsoft places its new share of My Location app for work. Microsoft is launching new application called Places, where office employees are going to balance home and in-office work better with the figure who is and when, where and when. You probably immediately know if you're on Teams when using Places given. You are familiar with the company's attitudes for remote work. It clearly that some companies will convince their workers to return to the office, but some workers will rather avoid the stress and expense of commute from and work from home. Places designed to balance that tension, Microsoft said. First off, the app can be used as a standalone indicator who's be in the office and when, but it'll also be integratable in Outlook and Copilot, so you can virtually see which team members will be where, or just add Copilot to sum up. Copilot integrate will take second half 2024. Microsoft outlined its Places on blog post with surprising amount of graphic design with Places. A few here to the Places offer, so you can set location, give them a quote, or your boss will be to a P card sums up your plans. You'll have suggestions, team guy. Okay. All these are biggest places, so you know where everybody is at the time. Administrator will always be able to keep tabs on who, where is the down size of the organ will keep, which are key and often present to promote or retention question. User won't be specifically tracked. Microsoft representatives said user expand process will be contained in sending about in office location and we. Aggressive and amused, anonymized and report about office occupations. Places will not be a Microsoft application. It will be licensed to the Microsoft Team Premium. I was telling the break of the team and offices. So that's kind of what's going to happen there. That's the thing about GPO. Oh, let's take a look.
Chad, are you there?
Hey, yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Hey, let's have some fun. I'd like you to be super sarcastic. Everything you say from now on is just going to be dripping in sarcasm. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds just amazing. Being sarcastic.
So they have this new it's a new AI model called the GPT-40 to chat GPT. The company said Monday I did to bring GPT-4 class chat. It's the open AI and free to all AI users. Okay. Okay, so I'm gonna go to the. Alright, so we're done with. The new steel is still artist novel if I have said delayed comfortable but novel of games with the logs comes with a twist. Around among the side of the headset is the new novel fun compare and it allows for the brother pit from more than 100 of says design and optimized by the expert pros and game developers. So you can check all this out. And Fantastic is gonna be their new everyday place. More like racing and stuff, so they take it over. So that's what it kind of comes down to. So Friday will have the users generate content. Going to Rise and Memorial Day. Beta tomorrow. So you all have a great day. Night. I'm so out of this. I'll see you all on Friday, okay? Bye-bye. Oh, before I go, so we have that. Friends Rise event, more than weekend. So that's what's gonna happen. So let's kind of see what happens and everything. I know. Drowsing out a little bit, I know. I don't like doing these shows in the evening. I like to just do them, get them over with, okay? Alright, no blasting technology meeting. Young adult weekend, beta tomorrow. Okay. So that's it for now, okay? So you guys have a great day, okay? Turn the next world outside, okay? Is it any other events? Yep. Alright, Broad Bench is next week. We have an event like that next week. So a lot of things. This is okay, okay? I am out, okay? Alright, bye.